A blessed Easter Sunday morning, GCF East and friends. Today, we remember the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank and praise the Lord for that first Easter morning where the Lord sealed the salvation of His people. And someday soon, we will have that same glorified body of the Lord Jesus Christ when He comes again and takes us home with Him in glory. Join me now and let us read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 58. Let us read. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this imperishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your gift of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for raising him up again, Lord, from the dead, sealing, Lord, our salvation. And Lord, as we worship you today, help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to give glory and honor and praise to your most holy name. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let us now join our praise team in singing praises to our risen Lord and Savior. For our announcements this morning, our church office schedule. Regardless of what level the quarantine will be for Rizal Province, our church office will still be open from Tuesday to Sunday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Further announcement will be made for any changes to the office schedule. Online Children's Sunday Worship. We would like to inform everyone that we have an online children's worship every Sunday. Videos are posted at 7 a.m. on the GCF East Sunday School Facebook page. Encourage your children ages 15 and below to be part of this special time of worshiping the Lord. Young Adult Ladies Virtual Bible Study. We are inviting all young adult ladies to join this virtual Bible study via Zoom every Saturday starting at 2 p.m. Right now, they are studying the book of the Gospel of John. To join or for more information, please text or Viber Sisley Porzuelo at cell phone number 0916-912-0413 or Sister Cindy Dolormente at cell phone number 0927-163-8707. Join a growth group. If you are not yet part of the GCF growth group, consider connecting to one and get to know other brothers and sisters in Christ as you journey together towards Christ-likeness. Please send a message, text message to cell phone number 0925-804-3633 to find a good fit for you. Midweek service. There will still be no midweek service this coming Wednesday, April 7, 2021. Midweek service will resume on April 14, 2021. Thank you. For our offering this morning, in John 3:16, we read the following words, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." God, by His divine power, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through our Lord Jesus, and we know that we can never, ever outgive Him. As we give our offering today, let us remember that all this too comes from our ever-gracious Lord. Let us worship our Lord through our offering. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for Your immeasurable, priceless gift, Lord. Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Your only Son, who gave His life so that we will be free of sin. We will be forgiven of our sins. Lord, we thank You. And we know, Lord, that we can never ever match, Lord, this gift of Yours. And as we give, Lord, our offering, Lord, help us remember that what we give to You also comes from You. We thank You, Lord, for Your graciousness. We thank You, Lord, for Your blessing. In Christ's name, we pray all these things. Amen. As we are restricted by the government to hold a face-to-face gathering, here are ways we can still give our offering to the Lord. First, through online bank transfer to Green Hills Christian Fellowship East Inc., BPI, Peso Current Account Number 4091-0042-03. Second, online bank transfer to Green Hills Christian Fellowship East Inc., UCPB Dollar Savings Account Number 11152000636. Third, through GCF East PayPal account, you can access at gcf-east.org/give/ in our church website. And lastly, save or keep your offering with you for the duration of the quarantine and then bring them to church when we are allowed to have a face-to-face worship service again in the sanctuary. Thank you and God bless. Thank you.
Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. And dear ones, this is the blessed hope that we have. And so as we come to our second installment of our study on Psalm 22, let me invite you to read with me the whole psalm. To the choir master, according to the Dough of the Dawn, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning, O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted, they trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from my birth, and from your mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me, they have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones, they stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. And stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, loving God, we praise you. We praise you indeed. We thank you, Lord, that you died for the sins of those who would believe in you. We praise you, Lord, and glorify and magnify you because you rose from the dead. And Lord, you seated at the right hand of the Father and rules and intercedes for those who are yours. And you would come back again. We thank you for these truths, Lord. And as we ponder upon this second section of this beautiful messianic psalm, we pray that it would teach our hearts, speak to our souls, and change our will. That we would indeed, Lord, proclaim your excellencies, shout out your fame, and live for you, because you, O great King, are holy. This is our heart's cry in Christ's most precious name. Amen. Again, napakahabang awit, 31 verses in all, written by David about an event in his life when he felt so distressed and so forsaken, thus he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is an event in David's life wherein pakiramdam niya, pinabayaan siya ng ating Panginoong Diyos. Yet we understand, because of the benefit of the whole counsel of God, the Old and the New Testament, and we know that this speaks of one greater than David, whose affliction weighs far greater than that of David. David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who according to Acts chapter 2 was a prophet, indeed prophesied about his greater son, the son of David, the root of Jesse, the Messiah. The Apostle Peter, remember, in writing to the persecuted church, says this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. And that is what we have, di ba? Ito yung structure nitong awit na ito. This is a messianic psalm, and we see in this beautiful song, in one song, the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. The last time we were together, last Friday, we saw the sufferings of Christ in verse 1 to 21. In verse 1 to 5, we learned of the aloneness of the Messiah. God the Son, whose God, was forsaken by his God. And this was because God, who was holy, whose eyes are purer to look at sin, forsake his own, very own Son. Because on his Son's shoulders were placed the sins of those who would believe in him. Yet, in his pitiful state, God, the Son, remained God and remained faithful to God. In God's silence, God was still God. And we saw that the suffering servant responded by faith, graciously, in this deafening silence. He held on to God's intrinsic holiness, verses 3 to 5. He held on to the faithfulness of God, even to the unfaithful chosen nation. And so this sufferer, amidst being forsaken, amidst being alone, continued on in faith. And let me remind all of us again, lest we forget. The profound loneliness was that the Son of God was separated from God the Father. And this is not talking about them being separated in essence and in nature. No, the Trinity remained intact. There was never a moment that Jesus ceased and stopped to be God. Jesus, the eternal Son, was separated from God the Father for a brief time at Calvary, as the Father poured out his fierce righteous wrath on his sinless Son, because according to Isaiah, the Son took on his shoulders the transgressions and our iniquities. According to Paul, Jesus was delivered up because of our transgressions. Paul again said, he died for our sins according to scriptures. He knew no sin, became sin on our behalf. He knew no sin and became sin on our behalf. He became accursed for us. The Apostle Peter said he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. He died for sins once for all time. The just for the unjust, to bring us to God. He bore man's sin. He became sin for us, so we would have the righteousness of him when we believe. Yet, the greatest sufferer of all, this suffering servant, the one who endured the very wrath of God in behalf of God's own people, those who in repentant faith would believe in Christ, found relief, found comfort in the midst of his suffering, in the holiness of God. That Yahweh is absolutely, completely, and unquestionably faithful. In verses 6 to 11, we saw the Messiah's abuse, the mocking, the jeering, the contempt that they hurled at him, insulting him for trusting in God. And again, in a pattern showing the sufferer's resolve, we see him looking back to a peaceful time, starting in verse 9 when he was in his mother's womb. Yet you, verse 9, yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. And remember the profundity, dear ones, of this truth as we looked at Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews says that Jesus focused on the joy set before him and endure the cross. In Psalm 22, David speaks of the greater David and has his resolve to look back to when he was in his mother's womb, and how from the very beginning God protected him, how God was his God. That from birth to death, from the cradle to the cross, the sufferer's life was marked with dependence and obedience to God. Beginning verse 12 to 18, we saw the graphic description of the Messiah's affliction to the point of death. The people there were hostile towards him. The crowd was so hostile that they were described as beasts. They were like animals, bulls of Bashan, those bulls happily indulging. And they were like the bulls indulging at the sight of his pain, like ravenous lions and like the wild dogs who would like to inflict more pain. That is what we see in Calvary, right? We hear him so spent, like water being poured, his mouth and throat parched, very dry, like a potsherd, his heart so broken, like it is melted wax. It also spoke of the crucifixion. As we read verse 16, they have pierced my hands and feet. And this is just glorious. David, who wrote this during the time where he wasn't surely talking about the crucifixion, because it would only be after hundreds of years that this would be introduced as a means of torture, but the precision, dear ones, the precision, the accuracy of this prophecy indeed spoke of the crucifixion of Jesus. We read of his bones being out of joint, giving us a picture of what happens when the cross is lifted up, is hoisted up violently, deliberately, dislocating the bones of those hanging on them. We read in verse 17, I count all my bones, they stare and gloat over me. I think this is a very graphic illustration of perhaps the open wounds that Christ had from the flogging, from the beating. You can see his wounds from the inside. And the humiliation goes on. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. They stripped him naked. They are sure that he would surely die. He doesn't need his clothing anymore. We need to be taking his clothing. And again, dear ones, David may have experienced this, but we know that the greater David suffered far more greater. Because what Jesus experienced was not just physical anguish. Jesus suffered spiritual agony, as it was the Father's will to crush him. He was bruised, he was despised, he was beaten, he was mocked to be the perfect sacrifice and propitiation for those who would believe. In verses 19 to 21, we hear the sufferer's prayers getting more intensifying, tell us indeed that God has poured on him his righteous, holy wrath on our behalf. But as we go to verse 21, we see the transition in this beautiful song. Verse 19, but you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. And this brings us to the second song, or the second section of the song. In verse 1 20 to 21, we read of Christ's suffering. 21 to 31, the glories to come. Verse 1 to 21 was Good Friday. Verse 21 onwards is Resurrection Sunday. And so let me give you our outline as we study this great section, the glories, the subsequent glories. And you'll be looking at very simple heading, two headings lang. 22 to 26, Messiah's praise. 27 onwards, Messiah's proclamation. Marvel with me as we look at the greater David's victory. In verses 19 to 21, we hear him cry out. He's crying out for help. We called it the Messiah's assistance. We ended, diba? That's how we ended last Friday. But yet we ask, what assistance? He's still hanging on the cross. Look at verse 21 again. And kindly observe the wonderful transition. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. Yung phrase na yon, you have rescued me, one word in the original language. And it is in the perfect tense. It has already been accomplished. It is a completed action. You have saved me. You have rescued me. Verse 22 amplifies this. I will tell you of your name to my brothers, and in the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. Napansin po ba ninyo yung difference ng tonality, ng mood? It's different. Sa unang 21 verses na talata, the statements there are short, are concise, abrupt, as if coming from someone gasping for air, in between gasps, in between breaths. But starting in verse 22, the statements are longer, more profound, more complex. The sufferer is now free from pain and now speaks no longer of his sufferings, diba? Because his sufferings have come to an end. Now he speaks of praise. Now he speaks of glory. And I pray, dear ones, that you would listen and listen well, because this last part of this messianic psalm gives us beautiful implications of the glory that follows the sufferings of the Messiah. Notice that there would be no longer any language alluding to sufferings. No more word picture that points to the crucifixion. Only celebration, only jubilation, only praise. Now, definitely David wrote this, and it speaks of his praise. But I believe, dear ones, that we still can hear Jesus' voice here. This being a prophecy about the Messiah ultimately speaks of Jesus' proclamation and praise. We saw that in verse 21, the strong conviction of the sufferer for assistance and help to come to him is in the perfect tense. You have rescued me. He believes that deliverance and rescue are on the way after much suffering and agony, so much anguish, torture, and ridicule, after being abandoned Not just by his friends, dear ones, but by God himself, who is his God. He's confident. It's now over. But paano nangyari yun? We know that God did not save him. Diba? Namatay si Kristo. He died. The gospel testifies to that. Listen to Matthew. Matthew says, "And Jesus cried out again, and with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit." Mark puts it this way, "And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last." Dr. Luke says this, "Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last." The Apostle John writes, "When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." The great resolve that we find in that transitional statement, verse 21, comes from the truth that something happened between verse 21 and verse 22. Did you see that? We see that the sufferer is no longer suffering. He's now celebrating. He is now praising. He's now glorifying. Because, dear ones, Jesus died, all right, but he has risen. The tomb is empty. "Why do you seek the living from the dead?" says the angel. Jesus was not rescued out of his sufferings to live. He was rescued out of death to rise from the grave. Verse 21 is Good Friday. Verse 22 is Resurrection Sunday. Kindly look with me at verses 22 to 26 and prepare to be blown away with the Messiah's praise. "I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. All you offspring of Israel." What did you observe? This speaks of different groups of people, diba? People who ought to celebrate God's victory, to celebrate the resurrection, the brothers, the congregation, the offspring of Jacob, all who are in awe of him, the descendants of Israel. The Messiah's praise seems to be shouted out. Celebration, victorious cry after the sufferings, because Messiah's assistance did pull through. Because deliverance indeed came. We don't see no more darkness, no more storm, no more chaos, but light and calm and rejoicing. Friends, Jesus really died, and Jesus really rose. And when he did, his praise was still centered in the Lord. Did you see that? Now you may ask, how can this be Jesus? How can this be Jesus? Because other people say, no, it's not talking about Jesus. It's just talking about a sufferer who just are rejoicing right now because he was delivered by God from his misery. Yes, this is David, all right. This is David's voice. I implore you, listen to Jesus' voice. You want to hear? Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. The book of Hebrews, the writer, is showcasing for us the supremacy of Christ over everything else. Hebrews 2 verse 9. "But we see him, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus." Who is the writer talking about? Jesus. "Crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist," what does this say? He is creator, "in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, listen, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. David indeed celebrated his deliverance, but the greater David did the same according to scripture. Now notice that the center of this celebration, the object of the jubilation, is God. 24, for he has not despised, he has not hidden his face from him, he has heard when he cried to him. Every pain, every hurtful words, every strike, every blow, every contempt lashed at him, every moment of that Roman crucifixion is orchestrated by God for the salvation of many. Therefore, dear ones, there is indeed the logical call to praise. It makes sense to praise. It is indeed but right for all of us who believe to rejoice. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Verse 24 celebrates and praises God. It is very obvious where it starts. Diba sa nagsimula? Brethren, congregation, assembly, descendants of Jacob, offsprings of Israel. But it will not end there. Yes, praise because of the victory from the deliverance of Yahweh is warranted. Yes, celebration is but normal and natural for the sufferer's resurrection. It starts in Jerusalem, then it goes to Judea, then we know it goes to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And it reached us, right? It reached your hearts. Isn't that wonderful, dear ones? Praise unto God in verse 24. But listen, look at verse 25. Beautifully says that praise comes from God. Verse 25, from you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. This is showing us. This is telling us, this grabbing our attention to be resolved that the reason and the source of praise is God and God alone. Tignan niyo ulit yung verse 25. It makes mention a vow being made, right? Ano kaya yun? Some try to make sense of this by saying Jesus made a vow, made a promise. No, but Jesus says he is the truth, right? Everything that he says is true, so there's no need for him to make a vow. So what is this vow that we see here? I believe it is not referring to promises or vows that we think of. We have an obvious change of scene here, diba? I think this is talking about a specific offering. Are you ready? In Leviticus, an offering called peace offering, which is given to God when a prayer is answered. It is Israel's opportunity to thank God in a practical and physical way. And so he would bring his offering and sacrifice his offering. And in Leviticus chapter 7, this offering will become a feast for the worshiper, as he expressed his praise by giving it. He would then share the meat of the offering with the worshippers. A feast would be attended by his friends. And the poor would be included in this feast. This is supposed to be a celebration as broad as possible, because his thankfulness was as broad as possible. God answered my prayer. Come with me. Let's sacrifice. Let's feast together. Let's celebrate what Yahweh has done to me. You see? This praise cannot be contained, and the peace offering is culminated with a feast. Magkakainan sila. It would have been a glad payment from a sufferer, if you will, who has been delivered by Yahweh. A meal that is a response to God's blessings and a practical manifestation of gratitude and praise. Don't you think Jesus knew about this kind of offering? Diba? Diba madalas magkwento si Kristo ng isang piging? He often spoke of a banquet in his preaching. A glorious banquet to come in the future. One that he invited all his friends to. A banquet in the parable that he spoke of when we saw that it was initiated by a king, a celebration that was intended to be attended by his closest associates. He desires for them to celebrate with him. They were invited, but in Jesus' parable, they had something more important to do. And so, hindi sila pumunta. They disregarded the king and his invitation. And what did the king do? The king told his servant, go out in the highways and the byways and call them to come, the poor, the sick, because my banquet will be full and there will be rejoicing, there will be great celebration. And friends, this is staggering, this is sobering, this is humbling, to think that our high priest, Jesus Christ, loves God so much that he acknowledges in his death and resurrection this vow that he owes to God, this vow that he wants all of us to participate in. It will start in Jerusalem, but it will break forth from Israel very, very fast. Watch what happens to this beautiful feast. This is not just for the VIPs, but also for the afflicted people. Verse 26, the afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. Yung phrase na yun, sabi ng ilan, baka ito daw yung proclamation at the end of the feast. This is perhaps the pronouncement at the end of the feast, the blessing given to all participants. May your hearts live forever. This coming from the heart that was broken, that was waxing, the heart that we saw in verse 14. Don't you love the profundity in this song? That from that same heart where we saw despair, we now see praise. Praise that cannot be contained, thus there is a feast. Ang book of Revelation po speaks of a great feast that God's people will be part of. One that will be a celebration of all that God has done in Christ. A celebration of God's glory and perfection and the culmination of his redemptive plan to bring glory to his Son. What a party. What an opportunity. What an invitation. Are you invited? I pray that you would see that the call to be there, the call to be saved, the call to come to Jesus still stands. What a party. All this because the sufferer endured, the sufferer trusted, the sufferer obeyed till the end. That, dear ones, is the Messiah's praise. Galing, no? But let me be serious with you. I wonder if in this pandemic that we're all in, with all the canceled celebrations and occasions, I wonder if we are mindful of this feast. I wonder if we are aware of the one who made this possible. I wonder if he is yours. I wonder if you are his. You can be certain right now, right here, right now. I pray deep in my heart, before we go on, I pray that you would cry out for help. The sufferings that we hear did not last. It was just brief. We now see victorious shouts of praise, because Jesus indeed died and Jesus indeed rose from the dead, and he forever lives. And dear ones, according to scripture, God's very own word, there's only one way that you can be saved. It is through and by surrendering to Jesus Christ. It is through in repentant faith you run to him and surrender to him. I pray that you would do it now. I pray that you would do it now. The Messiah's praise. Don't you want to be part of this praise? In the last few verses, as we go on, we see the Messiah's proclamation. Verse 27. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. It cannot be contained. It wasn't just for Israel, because even in the Old Testament, we see that God's people was chosen to be a light to the Gentiles. They are to draw people in, and God did through his people. Rahab, Ruth, to name a few. And as the redemptive narrative breaks to the New Testament, we see that happening in the book of Acts. First in the synagogues and then to the streets, so that those who would hear would believe. We see it going to those who are in Athens, came to the US, came to the Philippines, so that those who would have God's blessings would indeed be blessed by heeding to the call to believe. What an awesome proclamation of this uncontainable nature of praise. All the ends, verse 27, of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nation. Now we see the language now has changed into rulership, into kingship. Hindi na natiling patay si Kristo. He rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven, seated on his throne at the right side of the Father to intercede for those who belong to him. Started with suffering, now reigning as a sovereign king. Now this language, diba, surely cannot apply to an earthly king. Yes, this was written by David, but this is talking about the greater David, King Jesus. And let me emphasize, dear ones, the inseparable nature of suffering and glory. Suffering and glory. Jesus went through suffering and he's now glorified. We believers of Christ, we would go through suffering and we would be glorified in his perfect time. Romans 8:18. For I consider, says Paul, that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Wonderful song, right? Let's look at Psalm 22 again. Did you notice as well that this song goes beyond the resurrection? It goes beyond the resurrection and points us to the future kingdom where Jesus would rule. This song is not just messianic. This is an eschatological song. It speaks of the future. Let's keep on going. Verse 29, all the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. the elites can be saved. Who else? Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. The poor can be saved, even the poorest of the poor, those who cannot keep themselves alive. All without distinction, all without exception. Those who would believe in Christ will be saved. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation will be represented. Jesus and his great act of grace should be preached to the rich. It should be preached to the poor. And it does not end there. Look at verse 30. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn. Meaning this will be preached to all generations to come. This generation isn't enough. Jesus is much glorious, much glorious than that. It should be preached to the next generation, and the next, and the next, and the next, until he comes back. As a father, bilang tatay, I think of my daughter. To those of you who are parents, let's start with our children. Let's preach about Jesus. Let's preach Jesus. Let's preach the gospel to our children, to our nephews, to our nieces, to our grandkids. Jesus is so beautiful, dear ones. He is so beautiful to be confined to just one generation, to just be confined to you. Jesus is so wonderful to not be shared, to not be proclaimed, to not be preached. He was dead, and now he lives. He took my sins and gave me his righteousness. He took my hell and gave me his heaven. Wouldn't you carry this proclamation as an act of gratitude? As we go on, watch carefully now how this song is ending. This song started with, my God, why have you forsaken me? And now we end with that phrase. Look at verse 30 again. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. He has done it. Doesn't that sound familiar? Haven't we heard that before? My God, why have you forsaken me? After a while, he has done it. It is finished. Tetelestai, paid in full. It is finished. All right. He is risen, dear ones. He is risen. I pray that this beautiful song that speaks of the sufferings of Christ yet goes beyond the resurrection and speaks of the glories to come has spoken to your heart, has convinced your whole being that Jesus indeed is glorious, that we should serve him. We should worship him. We should surrender to him. Maybe this is the first time that you would celebrate Resurrection Sunday in the truest sense of the word. Maybe this is the first time that by God's grace you would believe in him. Friends, again, let me just share with you. All throughout the week, I've been saying this from the devotions that we have been hearing from the seven last words of Jesus Christ. Now is the day of God's favor. Now is the time of salvation. If you are so gripped in the heart and you've seen your utter pitiful state that you are a sinner and needs a savior, would you come to him now? He suffered. He rose again. He suffered, yet he was sinless, because God placed on his shoulders the sins of those who would believe in him, that they would live forever, for all eternity, in glory with Him. Dear ones, life is fleeting. Life is fleeting. And we live in a very difficult situation with the rising cases of coronavirus. I pray that more than being worried, more than being concerned about this, I pray that you would be concerned about where you will spend your eternity after our life here on earth. It is finished. It is finished. Praise be to God. Praise be to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this remarkable song that speaks volumes of, yes, the agony of David, but Lord, points us even farther than his agony and points us to the Gospels. Points us to your sufferings. Oh Lord, may we not forget that you died not for your own sins. You were the sinless one, the spotless one, the unblemished one, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of those who would believe in him. Lord, you rose again from the dead. Because of that, Lord, because of that, there is now an opportunity to celebrate the great feast with you. And so, Lord, we pray that indeed those who have ears would have truly listened and heed to the call, Lord, to repent and believe in the suffering servant, this victorious, resurrected, glorious King. Bless your word. Bless the hearers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. He is risen, dear ones. Let's be glad. God bless you.